The Pilgrim's Progress Reloaded. Chapter 19. What the Girl in the Yellow Cardigan Said. Love walked forward, looking at the box art of her board game. A missile struck her in the chest. The box flew from her hand, shields crackled around her, and she skidded backwards. Love looked shocked.
Sell it! Why?
Another missile struck Love, knocking her back, then another missile, and another. With each missile, a tear fell from Zealot's eyes. Love flew backwards into the wall, but the missiles kept flying, her shields fighting against the successive explosions. With each strike, the shields grew weaker. Then she fell, blood flying from her mouth. Zealot trudged over to Love, each step sending a sound of cracking bone echoing through the restaurant. He pointed his gun into Love's face. Love's eyes pleaded. She tried to speak, but she choked, and her blood mixed with her red hair, till you couldn't tell what and what was not bloodied.
Zealot?
Truth yelled. Truth and Christian left their seats at the bar, then stared at him in shock.
Love has been corrupted, Zealot said. All passion, all zeal has been diverted towards mundane things.
So you're going to destroy her? Christian said with fear and confusion in his voice.
I can't let you all be trapped in this place. If I remove the ability to love...
Then you'll be taking away someone the Overseer sent us, Christian said.
What else can I do? You all have succumbed to contentment.
You're becoming like Puritan, Christian took a step towards Zealot. You're becoming like Legalist. Nothing we are doing here is wrong. The gun shook in Zealot's hand.
Then it is not what you are doing, it's what you are not doing.
Why do we need to do more good? Is this not enough? Christian said.
No, it is never enough, not while there are still those who...
Zealot fell to one knee and clutched his chest.
Those who...
He collapsed and fired another missile at Love. Red blood and red hair flew through the air.
There's supposed to be a scene break here, but in the interests of maintaining a consistent dramatic pacing, I will postpone the ad.
Christian looked down at Zealot and Love, both immobile, bleeding husks.
I don't understand.
His brain refused to process what had happened.
What have we done? We have left Zealot and Love to fade away.
Truth fell to her knees, tears streaming from her face. Christian looked back at the bar, where two waiters were reloading their laser rifles. He grabbed one of them by the collar.
What did you do to Zealot?
Hey, we just do what the manager tells us.
Then I demand to speak to your manager, Christian said. The waiters exchanged looks, then snickered at Christian.
The restaurant shook. Glasses fell from the counter, shattering and adding to the salt, wood splinters and blood puddles across the floor. Christian scanned the room. His heart quickened.
That may have been a mistake. He released the waiter and backed away from the bar towards Truth. He went for his rifle. Dust shook from the ceiling. Then the ceiling cracked and rose above the restaurant. Two huge hands hoisted the ceiling into the air and moved it aside as if they were opening a giant cylindrical container of brand non-specific chips.
Fee-fi-fo-fum, a bellowing voice said. I smell the blood of a Christian man.
Hey, Truth perked up. That's the original line. Above them, where the ceiling used to be, stood an enormous giant. The giant was dressed in a well-tailored bathrobe and had a pipe in his mouth. The giant reached down and snatched up Christian in one hand. Truth tried to dodge, but the giant scooped her up as well in the other hand.
I can't believe you let me grab you.
The giant looked down at Christian and smirked.
You might have dodged me if you had used that law protocol you have plugged into your suit.
Christian winced. He'd forgotten conscience had given him that ability. In fact, Christian seemed to remember there was some other powerful ability that he had been given. Christian couldn't put his finger on that. What was it again?
What do you want with us?
Truth said, squirming in the giant's grip.
What do I want?
The giant said.
Nothing but to serve you, to give you contentment. After all, I am the giant contentment. Your happiness is my only desire.
He motioned towards the name tag on his bathrobe that said, "Hello, my name is Giant Contentment."
If that's all you want, Christian said, why did Zealot and Love go crazy? What did you do to them? Are they still alive?
Hard to say.
Contentment's voice was so loud, Christian's teeth rattled.
Zealot wasn't the type to be satisfied by contentment. His conflict with Love was inevitable.
Put us down, Christian struggled to get loose. We have to help them.
I'm afraid I can't let you help, Zealot. He means to ruin your contentment, always demanding you do more and more. You must rest.
But what about Love? Truth said. That's my sister down there bleeding out.
I think you'll find it easier to be content with her out of the picture. She, like Zealot, kept wanting more and more, perhaps even more than I could provide. With her gone, you'll find your desires far more subdued and easier to quench. So just stay put and enjoy yourselves.
But I need to leave here and help the interpreter, Christian said. There are so many who are lost.
Have I not given you jobs that will fulfill your desire to have purpose? Why do you need to leave this restaurant?
Truth twisted, then, with surprising strength, popped out of the giant's hand. The giant looked shocked. Truth ran up Contentment's arm to his shoulder and slid down toward the giant's name tag, which was the size of a small billboard. She grabbed one end of the name tag and ripped it off before Contentment could stop her. Contentment roared a guttural, inhuman roar and grabbed Truth with his free hand.
Ha! I knew it!
Truth pointed at the giant's chest, where another name tag stood underneath the original. It said, "Hello, my name is Giant Despair." Truth looked at the name tag and shuddered, as if it brought back a horrific memory.
"You're not Contentment. You're the Giant Despair."
The giant looked down at the name tag.
As a matter of fact, it does say Giant Despair on my uniform. But that is a mistake. I changed my name long ago. I used to waylay travelers and toss them into my dungeon to be eaten. But I don't work that way much anymore. Now, pilgrims are more than happy to chain themselves in my dungeon, as long as they have contentment. That usually gets them out of the way, and I can sit back and relax. Before, I had to work hard to capture pilgrims and hold them in my dungeon. Now it is quite easy.
Christian looked down at his hands. He still wore the chains. The chain went all the way down to the desk below in the restaurant.
I don't understand, Christian wrestled against the giant's grip, but to no avail. Nothing you offered in the restaurant was sinful. How can it trap pilgrims?
They don't have to be sinful, Truth said. These things he offered us, they make us content, but do little else. They've corrupted Love's desire and tried to stifle Zealot's passion. That can only lead to despair. We were never meant to be content, not fully content. We were meant to strive to do more, unsatisfied with the imperfect nature of this world.
The giant grinned.
It seems you are wise to my shenanigans.
Let us go, Christian said. The giant chuckled.
Very well. If you do not wish to pursue contentment, then we shall be forced to inflict upon you our greatest weapon.
You don't scare me. Christian's voice cracked. Despair smiled.
Good.
He grabbed Truth, picked both of them up in one hand, whipped them around his head, and flung them into the distance.
We'll be back with more Pilgrim's Progress Reloaded after these messages.
The Pilgrim's Progress Reloaded is brought to you by the following.
Do you hate somebody but have literally no good reason? Maybe you're uncreative in your postulation of unjustified animosity, or perhaps your reason for hating someone is entirely founded on selfish gain, or someone is winning an argument and you can't think of a reason to discredit them. Try racism! Racism is a very versatile product for the uncreative hater. You can either disparage someone because of their melanin level, nationality, or their refusal to disparage someone else based on their melanin level or nationality. And if someone calls you out on this, you can call them racist to cover your tracks. This works for some reason. You see, when you accuse someone of having an unquantifiable malady based on unchangeable characteristics, it destroys their credibility in an unfixable manner due to the inability to change those characteristics. How does one's melanin level affect their cognizance, intelligence, or persuasiveness of their arguments? It doesn't! But people can be fooled into thinking that it does because something like appearance is easy to see, and thus subconsciously people put extra emphasis on it as important because it's so obvious. But what if somebody looks like you? Well, you could accuse them of being racist, or you could say they're acting like a race that you disparage. What races are best to disparage? The French. Easily! And if I need to explain why, then you're probably French, or from Thailand. See, that makes no sense, but already it puts the other person on the defense, forcing them to defend something that they can't change. And because it isn't based on any logical rationale, it can't be refuted. Racism. Because understanding individuals is hard. You'll never have to see someone as an individual ever again.
We now return to Pilgrim's Progress Reloaded.
Christian gasped and opened his eyes. He tried to get up. Something was pushing down on his chest. Pain sang from almost every sinew in his body. He felt like he had several broken bones or ruptured organs. He felt the medical protocols in his suit trying to kick in. They seemed ill-suited for the extent of his damage.
So it was contentment that did you in?
The voice came from just above his chest. Christian looked up. A short figure with crossed arms stood over Christian wearing a baker's apron and leaning down on him with one foot.
I must say, my minions thought you'd get stopped by my boys at Palace Beautiful. Who knew Giant Contentment would win the bet? Another golden fiddle lost. Oh well.
Christian groaned and tried to move, but the figure held him in place.
Personally, I thought Fascist would get you. Never thought the Atheist would turn on me like that. Clever y'all to use him and his compatriots against your common foe.
Who are... Christian tried to speak, but the pressure on his chest was too great.
Who am I? You don't recognize me? I'm hurt, Christian.
The figure made an overly dramatic gesticulation with his hands, then leaned in closer. Though he wore the garb of a baker, he didn't look human. To say the face was ugly, demonic, or like the super mutant monsters Christian had faced before would be to miss the point. Those horrors did not compare to this phobic monstrosity.
Apollyon, Christian said. Yeah, that's the name they use in this allegory. I got a ton of them, though.
With a twisted smile through his mangled teeth, Apollyon handed Christian a tray of chocolate cupcakes.
Cupcake?
Apollyon said with bizarre normality. Christian looked at the cupcakes, then back at the Lord of All Evils, who was dressed as a baker.
They're poisoned, Christian said. Of course they're poisoned, Christian.
Apollyon grabbed one and took a bite.
Given your circumstances, I figured you might consider suicide. You'd be surprised how many of you suckers take the easy way out.
Does my job for me. It's amazing how little I have to do for folks to go astray. Most folks look at me as some constant cosmic evil, but I'm just a baker. A little leaven, a little heat, and little muffins do most of the work for me.
Christian looked around for help, but there was only sand in every direction.
I'm afraid you won't find much assistance in the desert of emptiness. Apollyon yawned and dug his boot heel deeper into Christian's chest plate, cracking a rib. The armor was the only thing keeping Apollyon's foot from grinding him to mush. Let's see, Apollyon counted on his fingers. Zealot blood out back at Despair's restaurant. What's left of love is getting cooked into some pies that Despair's waiters are serving to unsuspecting guests. And that leaves, Apollyon smiled with feigned indifference. Truly, wasn't that what you called her? He snapped his fingers. Two super mutant demons walked up, holding Truth above the ground. Truth wrestled with the brutes, but they were too strong for her. You, Christian tried to cough out an insult. Apollyon smirked down at him, stopping the words in Christian's throat. What? I what? Please, Christian, you did this to yourself. You want to blame me for all your problems? Go ahead. It makes it harder to repent when you think your problems are caused by an outside force.
Christian, Truth said, don't listen to him.
Apollyon snapped his fingers, and one of the demons clamped his hand over Truth's mouth.
I don't believe you, Christian said. Any second now, Zealot and Love will show up and beat your muffin man behind.
Yes, Apollyon hissed, a forked tongue appearing for a moment between the baker's teeth. Rely on your own power to get you out of this mess. That's a great plan. Now then, as for Truth, he stepped off Christian and walked to Truth.
Stop!
Christian tried to get up, but his leg gave a loud snap and he fell to the ground, screaming in pain. Apollyon looked Truth up and down.
You've been a real pain, you know that, Truth?
Truth could only glare at the baker, her mouth still covered by the demon's hand.
Yeah, you shouldn't be too difficult to deal with. Love and Zealot dealt with each other, and now that Christian here has had so many misguided desires, I doubt he'll ever want to love anything ever again. Contentment has sapped him of any passion to do more than the mundane, but you...
He ran a taloned finger across Truth's cheek, leaving burned flesh in its wake.
You might prove a problem. Fortunately, Christian has done everything we need, for we are in the desert of emptiness. When one is empty of passion, drive, and love, the mind slowly follows. Without the will to learn, little knowledge is gained. Without the drive to understand, little wisdom is retained. Lies will eventually creep in.
Apollyon motioned at the two demons. They dropped Truth. Truth screamed and punched Apollyon in the face before he could say anything. Apollyon's head snapped back with a sickening crack. He pulled his head back into place.
Oh, no! His tone was wreathed in sarcasm. I never saw that coming.
He rolled his eyes and struck her to the ground with one blow. Not so fast and powerful now, are you? Now that Zealot isn't around, he knelt and whispered into her ear, you get the slowest death.
Have fun!
He started to walk away with his two demonic goons.
That's right,
Truth said, rising slower this time. Her skin seemed whiter, and her white hair grayed.
You better run.
Truth fell again, then turned towards Christian. Christian tried moving toward her with little success.
You're not going to finish us off, he said to Apollyon. Classic evil overlord mistake. I'm afraid I can't,
Apollyon shouted over his shoulder. Overseer would atomize me if I tried.
Not that I've ever needed to do much. You've managed to cause more damage than I could have hoped. What else would I suspect from such a homicidal maniac? You are welcome to help yourself to those cupcakes, though, if you want. They're fresh and will result in a mostly painless death.
Nah, I'm kidding. It's not going to be painless. Truth crawled over to Christian, looking older now. Weak. Frail. Christian just lay there. Movement hurt. Not like before under the weight of his burden, but from the pain in his flesh and in his heart.
Truth, Christian said. Help me out of this. Zealot and Love are gone. What can I do without them? What can I do without you?
Truth paused as if considering her answer.
Even without us?
Each word sounded painful.
You won't be alone, Christian. Your chains are unlocked. You can...
Her hair turned to dust, and she collapsed.
Truth, no!
Christian reached for her.
Don't you leave me too! I won't give up! I won't!
He tried rising but collapsed. His damage was beyond pain, his horror beyond grief. He could not move. After 10 minutes of trying, he said,
I can't.
Apollyon was long gone. Truth was almost motionless.
I can't move, Christian said. I can't make myself help you. I can't make myself do anything. All I have is emptiness. Zealot is gone. Love is gone. There is only emptiness. What do I do, Truth?
Truth gave no answer. Christian groaned, closed his eyes, and waited for the end.
Is this really the end of Christian? Will I keep asking this same question so many times at the end of all of these episodes? And will this book continue to take such an oddly autobiographical turn? Find out next time on Pilgrim's Progress Reloaded.
The Pilgrim's Progress Reloaded was written by David Umstadt. Audio editing by William Umstadt. Audio recording by a professional full-time cult chanter.